Disclaimer for today's message. It was a weird week for me. I just had an off week, and I don't know, everything just felt weird. So putting together the message felt weird. On one level, it just wasn't coming together like it normally does, and I kept waiting for it all to just come together, and it sort of did, but it felt weird. I felt weird, and it felt hypocritical to a degree because today's message is about not feeling off. And so I was thinking the entire time, what am I doing? I don't even believe any of this. I can't live any of this. Why am I going to go up there and say it? So disclaimer, everything I say, I may not live all the time, which is a shock to all of you, I'm sure. Like, what? And this week, especially, it was just things were off. It wasn't all clicking. And somebody told me barometric pressure changed. Could have been that. I had a sick kid, and I have nasty fever blister. And whenever I get fever blisters, I get in the worst mood ever. And I have two of them right here. They're scabbing over finally. The pus is beginning to go away. So, yeah, see, all of you are instantly in a bad mood too. So maybe it was that. I don't know. But that's the disclaimer as we go through this. And it was one of those where I had, I think, 20 pages of notes that I've been collecting, and to try to bring it down was really hard. And it's one of those topics that's kind of hard. So there's just going to be some things. I'm just going to read stuff. And if it's random, you know what? Let's pray. I want to pray this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that you speak this morning. And I know you and I have talked a lot this week, and you know where my head has been, and you know where all of our heads have been. And I pray that your spirit is in this room this morning. And this morning, I think of your spirit in the feminine, because we need that. I pray that she comes and speaks to us and melts away some of that snow, maybe, even as it's melting outside, and warms our soul, warms our hearts, and gets into the cracks and crevices of where we live. So please just use me this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so recap very quickly. Ecclesiastes, we're in it. We've talked about Sad Island. We talked about Happy Island. We talked about that there really isn't Sad Island and Happy Island and a boat that gets you from one to the other. We talked about there's one island, Solomon says, and on this island there is sad, there is pain, and there is happy. So last week we talked about the pain on the island, the pain in life, time and chance. Side note, thank you for being amazing last week. Some of you were very vulnerable. I know it was hard, and it was beautiful. And at the same time, for those who were vulnerable, some of you were very empathetic, and that was just as beautiful. So I've heard a lot from last week. Thank you for making it church and not a complete and utter failure. So it was a beautiful moment. And today we get to, there's also happy on the island, which brings some interesting questions to mind. What is happy? What is success? You could word it. What is this thing that we're trying to get to? I mean, how do we know if we even made it? How do we know if it's around us already? Because if we don't know what it is, I feel like we're going to miss it all of the time. So it's a very interesting question. We kind of know what pain is. We know when pain is here. But this happiness, this life, this thing, what does it look like? Success is an interesting word. We use that a lot. And if I told you I had two people that were very successful backstage, we're going to have them come up front. I mean, what are the first things that come to your mind? We've got two successful people here. It's interesting. What does that even mean? And the church, I don't know if has done that well to help define it. I mean, the church has sometimes gone right along with money. If you give a lot, you'll get a lot, which means there's some kind of success in being wealthy. There's actually many churches that would just come out right out and say it. Yeah, you're blessed by God if you're wealthy. At the same time, the church would some say poverty or simplicity is this thing we should be striving for. Like, well, okay, which one's the success? Sometimes we would say family, marriage, your legacy. That's your success. That's what we're living for. That's what you're trying to get to. Or we'd say wisdom or education. Or we would say happiness. I mean, that's the thing. We're all looking for this happy. We called it Happy Island. We're looking for happiness. And then other people would say, oh, no, no, no. God never says you're going to be happy. God says you'll be holy. So it's not about being happy. It's about being holy. And they say, well, some would say, well, it's just evangelizing the world, spreading the good news. That's when you know you're a success. And some would say, well, it's just loving people. And some would say it's just surviving till heaven comes or Jesus comes back or whatever it is. And we go on and on. So, well, what is it really at the end of the day that we're trying to do even? I mean, what is this happiness look like? This happy on, this good thing, what is it? And we struggle with it, and the world struggles with it. The atheist I talked about last week, Alain de Botton, gave us a whole speech on success and how we need to redefine it in the world because we have all of these definitions of success. So thinking, what does this look like? And of course, I went to Andre Agassi. He's the man for Lent, for Ecclesiastes, right? And he gives this quote. He's 31 years old. He's been at the bottom, meth, kind of at the bottom of his career, bottom of his marriage, divorced. And he begins to come back up. He's 31 years old. He just won the Australian Open. He's the oldest to win a Grand Slam in 31 years, I believe. It's his eighth Grand Slam. And he makes this statement after winning it. As they hand me the trophy, I tell the crowd, there's not a single day that's guaranteed to us, and certainly days like this are very rare. Someone says later that I sounded as if I'd had a near-death experience. More like a near-life experience. It's how a person talks when he almost didn't live. Now, if English is not your first language, you read that and say, what is he talking about? This doesn't even make sense. And even for us, what? But we also say, oh yeah, completely makes sense. He almost didn't live. He almost didn't live. That is how I think I define Happy Island. The thing that we're trying to get, to live. Because here's the deal. There's a lot of dead people. There's a lot of dead people in high schools. There's a lot of dead people in retirement homes and everywhere in between. There's a lot of dead people in casinos and strip clubs and arenas and offices and churches and mosques. In synagogues. I don't know if it has anything to do with age. I don't even know sometimes if it has anything to do with religion. I don't think it does. But there are dead people walking around everywhere. And there's this idea of, are we living? Are we alive? Are we aware? Are we awake? Are we present? Whatever we want to call it. But it's this thing that we know. We talk about it. And to me, it is Happy Island. It is what exists today as the good news, along with the pain. It's there. That's what we should be looking for, to be alive, to live in that sense. Which brings up the question, though, how? I mean, it's great. We talk about it a lot. How do we do this? And it's one of those things I don't think there's just, well, here's the five simple steps, and you'll walk out of here more alive than you've ever been. But as I look through all of these notes of movies, of books, of mystics, of Solomon, and try to find, okay, what are the common themes here of people who I would say are living life, they're alive? What are some of the common themes? So I came up with five, and I'm just going to throw them out there, and I think this will be one of those that we need to continue to talk about, think about, pray about, meditate about, and try to live into. Here's the first one. We have to stop. These build on one another. The first thing you've got to do is stop. And when I say stop, I don't know what it means for you. But I do know this. Everyone is going way too fast. And in our culture especially. And we've talked about it before. We did an entire series on rest two summers ago. Maybe we need to hear it again. But we have got to stop. And maybe it's stop working. Maybe it's stopping trying to figure out a formula. Been with some people this week where it's just, I've got to figure out how to make my wife happy. What's the thing I do to make her happy? Stop. Just stop trying to figure it out. It doesn't work. Maybe it's we got to stop taking pictures and posting it on Instagram. Maybe we have to stop looking at Instagram and seeing what everyone else is doing or what they're pretending to do. Maybe it's stop looking at Facebook. I don't know. There's a lot of technology ones I could go through. But maybe it's just stop caring what everyone thinks. It's just stop. I just think about it for a moment. The world is blurring by, and all we ever hear is time flies, and oh, I'm missing out on this, and I'm missing out on this. I'm going from one place to another, taking the kids here and there and there, and it's, ah! Well, none of this life that we're talking about is going to happen if we don't at least stop for a moment. We were in Hawaii a few weeks ago, I told you, and there was this moment, I don't know if I said it before, but me and my wife sat on the beach for 4 hours and did nothing. I didn't have a book. I didn't have anything. I just literally stared at the ocean and random people. And it was so amazing. And this is why we love tropical vacations. I mean, yes, it's beautiful, but there's something about the island life. They just stop. No, people aren't in the hurry, just running around like chickens without heads. They just stop and stare at the ocean. And you suddenly have permission to do it yourself. You say, wow, this is nice. And you can actually start to process and experience life. So the first one is we've just got to stop. Number two, we've got to, throw away the easy formulas that aren't easy. And by those, I mean sex, drugs, rock and roll, money, fame. The church talks about this all the time. Those do not work. If you haven't heard anything from Solomon yet, hear this again. All the money in the world, all the women he could ever possibly want, all the buildings, all the success, all the fame, all the power, and it's what? It's vapors. It's meaningless. It's you try to grab hold and it's not there. And churches are great at saying this. I feel like we all know this and yet we don't. I still catch myself even this week. Oh, yeah, if I could just have the money to travel. I mean, I wouldn't use my money on myself. I would just use it to travel. As though this is some beautiful, humble way. God, see, you can give me millions of dollars because I'll just travel around the world. Wow, Ryan, no one wants to do that. That's so sweet of you. It consumes us. And it's not getting us anywhere. I was just watching a James Bond documentary. I love James Bond. I think everyone does. I mean, come on. And it was talking about Ian Fleming, the author of the first James Bonds, and lived in Jamaica, had a lot of struggle to even get the books out and someone to buy them. And eventually, things kind of blew up toward the end of his life. He got a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of success. Someone asked him, tell me about money and success and fame. And he said, ashes, dear boy, ashes. You hear it over and over and over. It's nothing. And yet we're still just trying to get there, and I think we miss out on life. It's a great story from the master, which Solomon describes himself as that, so you can fill in any wise person you want to. But the master goes to a landowner who's obsessed with getting more land and says, why do you want more land? And the landowner says, well, I want to raise more cows. And he says, well, why do you want to raise more cows? And he says, well, I want to raise more cows so I can sell more cows. Says, well, why do you want to sell more cows? Well, I want to sell more cows so I can buy more land and have more cows. And this is us. Well, I made 40,000, now I need to make 80. Why? If you're not content with 40, why are you going to be content with 80? You hear this from millionaires. Yeah, I made my first $3 million. Now what do? Make my fourth? Make my fifth? I mean, is this life? Is this what it's about? When I get that thing, it'll finally vapors. We've got to just get rid of the easy ones that aren't easy, but at least mentally they are. Third one, we have to look our fears in the face and tell them where to go. Now this one starts to get a little deeper, and this starts to get where my week was weird. So I'm running on Wednesday, and I'm thinking about this, fears, and the way that fears control us. They control me, whether it's a fear of cancer, whether it's the fear of being alone, whether it's the fear of failure, whether it's the fear of being perceived as a failure, and all the things that we buy and cover up to make sure no one ever possibly thinks we're a failure, whether it's the fear of kids getting sick or dying or on and on and on, all the way to the fear of death, these fears consume us. I hear it all the time. You know this. And I was running, and I started to say, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. I started to say out loud, F you, fear. And I was saying the word. If you drove by and you thought, that's my pastor, I'm sorry. I really was. I was almost shouting it out, and then I started to cry. I was just weeping. I'm telling you, it was a weird week. And I was weeping as I'm just shouting out, like, I am so sick of fear. I'm so sick of what fear does to me, what it does to the people I love, what it does to people I just meet, random. It's everywhere, and I'm sick of it. And Jesus said, as we said last December, over and over, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And yet we are, and we're consumed by them. And the fear thing never works, because I'm afraid I won't get what I want, and then when I get it, I'm afraid I'll lose it. It's an endless cycle of fear that just doesn't go anywhere when we're after all of those things. There's three quotes from TV shows and movies that was sent this last couple weeks. First one's Breaking Bad. Everybody like Breaking Bad? Main character is a chemistry teacher who was diagnosed with cancer. He says this to his brother-in-law. I've spent my whole life scared, frightened of things that could happen, might not happen. 50 years I spent like that, finding myself awake at 3 a.m. But you know what? Ever since my diagnosis, I sleep just fine. I came to realize it's that fear. That's the worst of it. That's the real enemy. And you hear this a lot. I was so worried about getting cancer, and then I got it. Now I can sleep. It's the fear. Band of Brothers, one of my favorite shows ever. Lieutenant Spears is a stud. Speaking to Blythe, Blythe was this guy that melted down on D-Day. This is their conversation. Lieutenant, sir, Blythe is speaking. When I landed on D-Day, I found myself in a ditch all by myself. I fell asleep. I think it was air sickness. When I woke up, I didn't really try to find my unit to fight. I just kind of stayed put. You know why you hid in that ditch, Blythe? Spears says. I was scared. We're all scared. You hid in that ditch because you think there is still hope. But Blythe, the only hope you have is to accept the fact you're already dead. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you'll be able to function as a soldier is supposed to function. Same idea. You're dead. Accept that, you'll start to live. Last one is from Flight. Amazing movie, in my opinion. Denzel Washington's a pilot. He's in the hospital, and a terminally ill cancer patient comes up. They have this conversation in a stairwell. The cancer patient says this, "It's a trip. They think because I'm close to the other side, I got some sort of power or wisdom, like I got all the answers. I don't know, maybe I do. Death gives you perspective. It all makes sense somehow. My family just flew in from Utah. You know it's bad when they start flying in. This is a trip, because every morning is special now. I'm grateful of that. I wish I could bottle this feeling that I have about how beautiful every last breath of life is. You hear stuff like this in movies, and it's impactful because you know it's real life. This isn't fiction anymore. This is written by people who've talked to people who are going through this. And we hear it all the time. And you look at this and you go, well, what is it about the guy in the ditch or the terminally ill cancer patient that makes them say, I'm finally alive? They've finally faced every last fear. It's there. It's real. The fear is right there looking him in the face. Arguably, there's nothing more to be afraid of. And they finally begin to live. So the question is, can we do this without having to have cancer? Some would say no. I don't know. But I know it begins, we have to face our fears. And when you look at it this way, you read this stuff from Solomon that we've read before, and it all starts to make so much sense. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. This is a guy who's faced his fears. This is all about it. It's better to go. We're the only creature that knows we're going to die. We all know it, and it's good to be reminded of it, Solomon says, to face it. So here's the fourth one, and it's a little more complex maybe, or not. We have to face our desires in the eyes and say the same thing to them. Our desires, these are the good things that we all want, right? But these desires are so scary. They're subtle. Because a lot of our desires are just programming. Things that we've been told we'll never be happy, we'll never live until we get it. Which you just have to ask questions like, who told you you will never live until you find that husband or wife? Who told you that? Did God tell you that? Who told you you'll never just truly live until you get that job? Who is telling us this? Who said you'll never live until? Which brings up another thing about desires. They're just formulas. I'll live when. If I get, then I'll be. And we've been talking all along, these formulas don't work. The formulas do not work. And it's not about living, it's about, well, I'll live when I get this thing. Which brings up another thing about desires. They're a huge distraction because we become so preoccupied with a desire, which is becoming preoccupied with something we don't have. And when we become preoccupied with something we don't have, we lose sight of what we do have. And when we lose sight of what we do have, we don't live. These desires, they get us nowhere. And then you read the Beatitudes, and you start to realize this is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the poor. What? That is the craziest stuff. And we try to, well, what he meant. No, life is for you, the poor. Life is for you, those who are mourning. Life is for you, the persecuted. And you go on and on and on. What are you talking about, Jesus? Get rid of the desires. You have it now. Stop saying, if I get, and start seeing what you have. So all of this, stop. Get rid of the easy stuff. Look our fears in the eyes. Look our desires in the eyes. This all leads to something that Solomon has been leading to for the entire book. And this is something Solomon repeats over and over and over, and the mystics repeat it. If you find a common theme of people who I say are alive, it is this one, and it's this, the fifth one. We've got to immensely enjoy every second of life we have right now. You can call it being present. You can call it whatever you want, but we have got to immensely enjoy this moment now, not after church, not after, now. And rather than go on and on, I just want to read you a list of Solomon first off, because he says it over and over and over and over. And then I want to read you a list of some other people who said it in different ways. Here we go. Solomon, I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Next one. So I saw that there is nothing better, again, nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? Enjoy. Nothing better. Next one. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. Next one. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Classic. Back then I was so happy. Why are you asking it? What do you have now? Don't ask that. Don't ask, why were those days so much better? Next one. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Next one. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better, again, we're starting to get a theme here, for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun. Go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all the days of this vapor life, all your vapor days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. I mean, live in the moment now. Give it everything you have. There's nothing better. I commend it. Nothing better, nothing better, nothing better, nothing better. You who are young, got a lot of students here. Be happy while you are young and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So don't go too crazy. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are a vapor. I mean, even to the young, someday when I get to when I get out of college and get here, no, right now, enjoy it immensely every second you've got. Well, when I graduate, no, now. Here's Richard Rohr, a little bit different. You cannot not live in the presence of God. You are totally surrounded by God all the time and everywhere. You have no choice in the matter except to bring it to consciousness. St. Patrick said it well in the prayer attributed to him. God beneath you, God in front of you, God behind you, God above you, God within you. This whole idea of God is here right now all around you. Do you see God? Says Anthony DeMello, when you have enjoyed something intensely, you need very little. It's like people who are busy planning their vacation. They spend months planning it, and they get to the spot, and they're all anxious about their reservations for flying back. But they're taking pictures, all right, and later they'll show you pictures in an album of places they never saw but only photographed. That's a symbol of modern life. I cannot warn you enough about this kind of asceticism. Slow down and taste and smell and hear and let your senses come alive right now. And I love that illustration. Pictures, pictures, pictures. See this place we never lived in? One final one. Peter Rollins, the problem for most of us is not that there is a lack of things we should be able to get enjoyment from, but that we are unable to actually enjoy these things. The idol, this thing that's going to get us somewhere we're always striving to get to, robs us of the type of pleasure that we could have if only we were able to free ourselves from the false promise that something would render us complete someday. But in order to get to this more grounded and deep happiness, we must first take a hammer to the idol. It is only as we lay down the promise of fullness proclaimed by this false god and begin to embrace the world that we can discover a true joy. Over and over and over. Live in the moment now. You have life right now. And when you start to realize and start stop trying to get there, you wake up and you're no longer dead. So I was saying all this, and I wasn't living it, and I felt really just kind of down. And then I went on this run Friday, telling you it was Weird Week. I'm on this run, and I'm going over this entire sermon in my head. And I'm going through it, talking about it all in my head, and saying, man, yeah, I need to do that. I need to do that. So I started doing it. I stopped. And stopping doesn't mean literally all the time. Maybe sometimes it does. But running to me is a stopping. I'm not thinking about all of the stuff. I'm not consumed with all that. I'm just stopping. And then I started to go through, like I said, all of the easy stuff. Money, fame, fortune. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if I wrote a book and it went big? Then I would be living. Wouldn't it be cool if da-da-da? Wouldn't it be cool if I could travel to Australia whenever I wanted? Place I want to go more than anything else, then I would be living. Wouldn't it be cool if I could be on Amazing Race and gone to Bora Bora, New Zealand, and my family had to tell me to shut up the other night as we were watching it. They're like, Ryan, you're not on the show. Because I was like, I should have been on that show. Then I would have been alive. And so I'm running, and then I just start, my fears, I start to go through all of my fears. Fear of what I'm not, fear of not being enough. That's shame stuff. Fear of where branches will go. Fear of where I'll go. Fear of what if this happens. Fear of that and this. And then I started going through my desires, which are similar to a lot of times those easy formulas, but then there's deeper stuff. I just want to be this or that, and then someday. And then M83 came on. I was listening on my iPad, and you know I'm in love with M83. Casey, just play a song because you got to get what I was feeling. Have it ready here. I wasn't sure if I was going to play it, but it's just, you got to be with me on this run. M83 comes on. And literally, I had this moment. A song, man. I was running, and I looked up, and it was as though I started to see the world. And I'm not kidding. It was this spiritual experience. I was suddenly looking, and I'm running by little pine needles with dew on them. And I'm looking at the pine needles on the ground, and I'm looking at bark, and I'm looking at branches, and I'm looking at the sky, the gray sky that I was really depressed and mad at. And I started to think, oh, but the gray sky and the colors. And I look at the snow melting, and I'm running. And then I start to just think about my breathing and the fact that I'm sweating. And I felt the sweat right here on my head, and I felt my hands, they were calloused. And I was thinking about everything. And then, I mean, listen to this. You're just, I started running like a gazelle, so crazy. I'm not kidding. I mean, I was in these woods, and I just started booking. I felt like I was in a movie. The trees are just flying by me. And then I look up, and I'm like, God, I just want to live right now. It's the song. No, seriously, I was just like, God, this is life. This is it right now. I want to be alive right now. There's nothing else. What am I waiting for? And I started to cry like this. I was sobbing. I was just sobbing. And it was such a good cry. And I kept running like a gazelle, and I'm literally jumping over branches, like these tree limbs. I'm just hopping over them. Like I'm just gliding, like a sobbing, crazy gazelle. You can fade it out now. And it was really, it was this moment of, Ryan, this is what you're talking about. This is how I want to live every moment. I want to be alive. I want to sense it. I want to see it. I want to hear it. I want to smell it. And I started to just thank God for this moment of living now. That is being alive. And I got a taste of it, and the rest of the day, it wasn't always there, but I knew what it tasted like, and I wanted more of it. And I still do. It's this thing, even this morning, I was just, I want that. Right now, I want that. These people, the heat, I'm getting hot, tears, all of it. That is living. That is what is available to all of us right this second. This is what our faith is about. This is what Jesus came to say. Eternal life begins now. There's one final quote from DeMello. He said, "Wouldn't it be awful to die and never again see or hear or love or move?" Someone asks him. "You find that awful?" said the master. "But that's how most people are even before they die." To never again see or hear or love or move. And so many of us aren't seeing or hearing or loving or moving now. DeMello always says, why do we talk so much about life after death? No one talks about, is there life before death? Solomon does. And it's available for us all right now. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. It's really uncomfortable in our culture to be silent, but we're going to for a moment. And there's kids screaming, that's okay. Hear them. And the heating unit does weird things here. That's okay. Hear it. People sniffle or cough. It's all right. Hear it. Hear your own breathing. Feel your own skin. Ask God to give you whatever it takes to experience life right now. God, help us. Help us to be awake, to be aware, to be alive. Help us to stop. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to not keep waiting for some thing that will happen someday. God, I want to feel like I did on that run all the time. Without needing M83. Lord, help us all to feel that way. To live each moment. To appreciate and be grateful for everything we get to experience. Food and drink and laughter and friends and community and you. It's so precious. Help us to see how precious. In Jesus' name, amen.